Hearings begin today in U.S. District Court in Seattle to decide the fate of the Washington State Special Commitment Center, one of the first facilities for violent sexual predators in the country. 16 states now lock up violent sex offenders after they have served their prison time. The offenders are given mental health treatment with the promise they'll be let out when they're considered no longer dangerous. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 1997 that this is constitutional as long as the offenders continue to receive treatment. But since the center in Washington opened 10 years ago, it's been inundated with lawsuits charging that it operates more like a prison than a mental health facility. So far, no patient has been successfully treated and released. Paula Whistle of member station KPLU has the first of two reports.
The Washington State Special Commitment Center sits smack in the middle of a state prison, a prison that stands Alcatraz-like on McNeil Island in Puget Sound. It takes a prison boat to get there. The checkpoints, and there are several, are operated by the Department of Corrections.
Okay, I got some questions to ask you.
Yeah, no weapons, no drugs, no cell phones, no pagers, no nothing that could hurt anybody, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
As you leave the boat, you have to climb a hillside. A prison tower is on the left.
Clear, inside.
The center wasn't always here. When I visited 5 years ago, it was in another prison, the Monroe Correctional Facility. Then I was allowed to tape record freely inside. Today, it's different.
Print on A, print on B, and I need to take your recorder here. That's me.
The Treatment Center for Sexually Violent Predators is officially run by the State Social Service Agency, but it's the Department of Corrections presence you notice.
Mr. Cooper is the investigator here. They have a question with regards to what you were recording when you came through the gatehouse on the other side.
Are you recording and whether...
I'm recording right now.
After I stop taping, the prison inspector offers to take my tape unless I let him hear what I've recorded. I comply. Minus my recorder, I tour the center, which is at the top of several flights of concrete stairs surrounded by razor wire. It's identical to the two-story prison dorms it sits next to. But inside there are differences. Carpet on the floor, the chairs aren't bolted down, and unlike in the prison, the residents have their own rooms. The Special Commitment Center is a decade old. It was created by the state legislature during a time of public outrage over several vicious crimes. No one knows its history better than State Representative Ida Bala Shotis. She keeps a family photo above her desk.
This is Diane. This is my younger daughter. It was her graduation at WSU, and that's my son.
Diane, a striking, dark-haired woman who smiles out from the picture, was abducted, raped, and murdered 12 years ago. The man who did it was out of prison on work release. As a grieving mother, Ida turned her anger into action. She ran for the state house, then drove through the most sweeping sex offender legislation in the country. It included a provision for indefinitely detaining violent sexual predators.
You were talking about people who were due to come out of prison who still posed a threat, and there wasn't any way to, you know, capture, if you will, this very high-risk person and do anything with them.
Bala Shotis says the law targets the rapist or child molester who is most likely to reoffend.
Someone who, you know, preys on strangers, uses a weapon, has a high number of offenses. This is frightening, not only to me, but to most people.
Before committing someone, the state must prove to a jury that the offender suffers from a personality disorder that makes him likely to reoffend. Andre Brigham Young was the first to be committed. He had just finished a prison sentence for a series of brutal rapes. He's no longer doing interviews, but in 1995, he said what the state calls sex predator treatment is a joke. He said the state has never had any intention of rehabilitating him, and so his commitment amounts to an illegal death sentence.
If you're talking about a person being incarcerated indefinitely, you're talking about for the rest of their lives. Now, what is that? That's death. And if you think or anybody thinks for a moment that I'm going to let them get away with that, I will sue forever.
And he has, all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which will hear his case this fall. It could have broad implications. 15 other states now have sex predator commitment laws. Young's attorney, public defender Bob Berukowitz, will argue to the court that Young has not been treated. He's been illegally detained.
He has been punished for 9 years. He has to be released because his double jeopardy rights, his due process rights, were violated for 9 years.
The state points out that Andre Brigham Young has refused the treatment he's been offered. However, 5 months ago, a federal judge ruled the state in contempt, saying it has failed to provide the basic treatment residents need to get out. The state is scrambling to satisfy the federal judge's order. This week's hearings will decide whether it's done enough. But the state is also insisting that the Sex Predator Center has always been in compliance. State Deputy Attorney General Sarah Coates represents the facility.
It has been our belief for a long time that the Special Commitment Center meets all of the constitutional requirements for a constitutionally adequate treatment program. And basically what the standard is whether there are qualified professionals exercising their professional discretion.
Residents say if that were true and they were receiving effective treatment, someone would have graduated from the program by now. Sam, who asked that his last name not be used, is a pedophile. He's been here for 5.5 years. He did various prison stints for molesting young boys. He would befriend them, then force them to touch his genitals and in some cases have oral sex. But he says he and the others have been unfairly cast in the same mold as notorious sex criminals.
We do not have any Dahmers here. We do not have any John Wayne Gacy's. You know what I'm saying? Those kinds of people. That's what people think of immediately. The state has gone out of their way to label us.
The state counters that out of the thousands of sex offenders released from prison in the past decade, barely over 100 have ended up here, proof that these are truly the most dangerous. The residents say that attitude makes it impossible to get out. Sam says the place is actually worse than prison.
When I was here at McNeil Island as an inmate, I was allowed to go to Pierce College classes. I went down to the computer labs. I was able to move freely about the compound. I could go to the big yard whenever I wanted to.
He says now he's far more restricted.
Everywhere I go as a 57-year-old man, I am escorted like a 3-year-old.
And when residents have to leave the center, for example, to go to the doctor, they're taken away in shackles and prison-like jumpsuits and strip-searched. The state says it is trying to make the center more like a hospital. It plans to build a new facility separate from, although still right next to, the prison. Representative Ida Balashodis is concerned the state isn't doing enough to satisfy the courts and worries the sex predators will all be released, which she says would put the community at risk.
Bear in mind that public safety will always be the main thing we're concerned about. And if some families or friends or inmates feel they're not being treated fairly, and I hear that all the time, stop and think of what they did.
So far, the federal judge has not threatened to shut the place down, but he will begin fining the state $5,000 a day beginning May 1st if it can't prove it has transformed the Sex Predator Center into a genuine mental health hospital. For NPR News, I'm Paula Wissel in Seattle.
Tomorrow, the difficulty in treating violent sexual predators.